thankful for this privilege to be here with you in the Lord's service. We appreciate and thankful for Brother Chris's ministry, fellowship in the gospel, hospitality to our family, and thank the Lord for every good and perfect gift that he gives us, his mercy, his grace, the blessings of his kingdom that he gives us each day. I want to look at, for a few moments, Psalm 46. Psalm 46, read the first verse of this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Read a few verses from this chapter, and Lord being our helper, try to draw a connection with Psalm 46, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning with verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be good. One of the main hindrances, oftentimes for the children of God, that would immobilize us, is the fears that overtake us. As we look into what we perceive would be the future, and we imagine what we might face, what would come upon us, what challenges that would await us, many times these things are magnified in our minds, and we're immobilized from going forward. This is true concerning the child of God who has been, many times, the child of God who has been blessed to see the glory of the Lord's kingdom, blessed to see the beauty of his church, and made to see the truth of the gospel, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and has a burden and a desire to take up their cross, submit to the ordinance of baptism, and go forward in the king service of the Lord's kingdom. What about the challenges of discipleship? The battles that we will face. We understand the Spirit has taught us our weakness, has taught us that we're poor, hell deserving, worms of the dust. Surely we're no match for the fiery darts of Satan that would come upon us, the temptations, the snares that would await us? What about the sacrifices, the cost in terms of those maybe that we ran with, we walked with in times past, and now because of turning aside to the way of righteousness, they would disdain us and withdraw themselves from us? And these things begin to build up in the mind of the child of God, and oftentimes he draws back in fear. Or maybe the child of God that has been called into a specific area of discipleship, a specific realm of service, a call upon the life of the child of God, and he sees the greatness of the task and sees his own insufficiency and sees perhaps the persecutions and the dangers and the challenges and all that might be and all that could be, and there is a trepidation and a fear, and oftentimes to just draw back. Whatever situation, maybe a new challenge, a new chapter in our life, doors that the Lord has opened, and whatever it may be in that is new, that is before us, oftentimes the child of God would just become immobilized. And this is what is set before us in Ecclesiastes. The task of planting a crop, but then the person begins to look at the clouds and observe the wind. What if a tree falls upon the crop? What if the wind comes and destroys it? What if there is a great tempest and a great storm that comes? But he says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And then he brings it all in perspective. In verse 5, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. So he says to go forward and trust to the Lord, and he will prosper as he sees fit. And the principle here, we understand God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The children of Israel, as they faced the Canaan land that was before them, we read in Numbers chapter 13 how that God instructed the children of Israel to send 12 men, a man from each tribe, to go and to search the land and to give the report concerning the land that was before them. And the scripture says that these 12 men went, Joshua and Caleb and 10 other of the tribes of the children of Israel, they went and they searched the land. And the scripture says that they went in the time of first ripe grapes. And they went and they saw the beauty of that land. They saw God's provision upon that land. And they saw surely that it was, as they had heard, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they also saw that there were giants in the land. And they saw that there were great walled cities. They saw that it was a land of great challenges. They came and they brought back the report to their brethren. And they had a cluster of grapes that was so big that it took two men to carry it. They had the figs and the pomegranates that they brought with them. And they came and they gave the report to the children of Israel, and they said, surely this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, there is great walled cities. And it's a land of giants in the land. Now, this was set before all of the people. All of the 12 tribes saw the same thing from a natural standpoint. And Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome them." The other 10 tribes, besides Caleb and Joshua, they said, "We be not able to overcome them, for they are stronger than us." What Caleb and Joshua understood that the other tribes failed to realize at this point is that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. They were measuring the success by looking at their own strength and comparing it against the challenges that were before them, and they say, "We be not able to overcome them, for they are stronger than us." But Caleb and Joshua, the scripture says that Caleb had another spirit, and he fully followed the Lord. So the children of Israel, as they observed these things, they did not listen to Caleb and the report that he and Joshua gave, but rather they listened to the evil report of the 10 other men that said, "This is the land that eateth up the inhabitants of the land. We were in their sight as grasshoppers." And the people began to weep in their tents, and they said, "Would to God we had died in the wilderness, or would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Why has God brought us into this land that our children and our wives should become a prey and that we should be destroyed by the sword? Let's return into Egypt." Scripture says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Let us draw back. This is the very safest thing that we can do, is to draw back and to turn around and to go back toward Egypt. But God said, "Because of your unbelief, because you have not believed me and seen my works and my miracles and my powers, you will not see this good land, and your children that you said should be a prey, I will preserve them, and they will be brought in, and they will see the land that you have despised." Scripture says, "Even so," said, "thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." We can just imagine the mind of the children of Israel if these men gave this kind of report. Surely there's no words to describe the dangers that are in that land. Surely there must be much even beyond that they have set before us in way of danger. If we go in to possess the land, we will not be in hardly any time at all before we're overrun, before we're overtaken, slain by the sword, our wives and our children taken captive. We will not go in. But Caleb said, "Let us go up at once." He said, "They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us." Too. The other 10 men and to the children of Israel, great walled cities, that they could not withstand. But Caleb, viewing these challenges in light of the God spoken of by Nebuchadnezzar, that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before him. None can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" If it was God's will and God's provision, as he had promised, to bring them in, there was not a force that could withstand the mighty hand of God. There was not a force that could. Let us go up. Notice the mind of Caleb. Let's take some time and Think about these things. Measure this out. I was hoping, but I just don't know about this. He said, let us go up at once. Let us go up at once. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. The child of God who has been blessed to see the beauty of the Lord's kingdom, that should be his mind. Let us go up at once. No matter what the challenges, no matter the fiery darts of Satan, no matter the cost, they are bread for us. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. He says, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Our God is able to do, Paul said, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Caleb and Joshua did not ask for specific, they did not need specific details how this is going to come about. But they simply trusted God's promise. Thou knowest not the works of God that maketh all. And the ones that died in unbelief in the wilderness, God preserved their children. God preserved Caleb and Joshua. And then in that land of Canaan, God proved himself strong. Refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Psalm 44, the scripture says, they got not the land in possession by their own arm, neither did their own sword save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy presence, because thou hast a favor unto them. And that's how any child of God gets the good of this land. A land that's flowing with milk and honey is by the light of his presence, his right hand and his holy arm. We cannot perceive of the way oftentimes God works, how he brings down walls. How that is great and mighty before us, how that he's able to make us trodden under our feet. Caleb and Joshua knew that God would fight the battles for them, and they went forward in faith. They knew that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, but could they even perceive that as they would go in? We read in Joshua's chapter 10 and 11 how that God would destroy the enemy before their face. There would be a great slaughter as the people that were gathered against them would join themselves together. How often we as the children of God see storm clouds on the horizon. The clouds are coming together. Great, mighty storm. But God rides upon the storm. God hath his way in the storm and the whirlwind, and the clouds are under his feet. Joined together. Over and over and over, the scripture says God utterly destroyed them. God utterly destroyed them. The God of Israel, he fought for Israel. God sent great. Upon one occasion, God sent great hailstones that destroyed more than they slew with the sword. God caused the sun and the moon to stand still one day to give them an extra hour of daylight. Five of the kings fled and they hid themselves in caves, and the children of Israel captured them and stood upon their necks. And Joshua said, fear not, be strong and of good courage. Thus will the Lord do to all your enemies. The Lord God fought for Israel. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Jesus said, "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." We can imagine what might be. I can't handle that. We don't have to right now. God's grace is sufficient very presently, just in the nick of time when we need it. It will be there. We're talking about the one who inhabits eternity. We're talking about the one that when we face that we were so afraid of, perhaps, many things we're so afraid of we don't face, or perhaps we do, he's already there. He inhabits eternity. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He is a refuge and strength. May the Lord bless us to take our comfort in his refuge, his arms, who will bear us on eagle's wings, bring us unto himself, go before us, and get victory for his great name.